Eric Harley here at Mid-America, and right now, a country music legend, Tanya Tucker. Yeah!
Well, hello there.
Tanya, wow, you know, it's so great having you here. You were here at this show as a guest of ours on the old show about 2 decades ago, Louisville, Kentucky.
I know. That's what, you know, we were talking about that a while ago in the back of the bus, and I was thinking when I took a little break here, but no. I mean,
can't be that long, right?
No, it just can't, because I remember Bill Mack.
Yeah, yep.
Was here, mm-hmm. and we got to spend, of course, I love spending any kind of time I can with Bill Mack,
sure.
You know. And I remember that very distinctively. But also, it seemed like Reba was here.
Yeah, yeah,
and I had never seen her show. Okay,
right.
That don't mean anything, because I just don't. I'm not really a good audience member. You know, I'm not a real good audience person. But you know, I'll slide in and slide out. But I sat out and watched her show, and I guess that's right after she had Fancy or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And she came out with this red dress. And,
yeah,
and
right.
I was very impressed. I thought she was great.
Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah.
But I remember meeting a lot of people, shaking a lot of hands, taking a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all truckers. What, you know, you sure. know, Tanya Tucker loves them truckers.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
I really do. I
absolutely.
Think they're, you know, especially when I first started out, you know,
yeah.
they were really the backbone of not just America, but of country music.
Sure. You know, and that's,
they were the ones, they went down the road listening to Bill Mack at WBAP.
Absolutely.
You know, Midnight Cowboy all night, and then those 8-track tapes, and then the CBs came in.
Yeah.
And I remember my first bus was a Flex, an old Flex bus. And my dad bought it from Sonny James, who you know,
yeah, right.
Southern gentleman, mm-hmm. Sonny James. And so we had that old, and it ended up selling it to Freddie Fender. Freddie had it and actually had a head-on collision, had a bag of crash in it. But I went many miles in that old Flex bus. And I would go up in the front and talk to the truckers.
Right.
I mean, I had my own handle, and
right.
you know, I had several handles back then. and I would talk to them, and we'd talk and have great conversations going back.
Right.
And I thought
they didn't know they were talking.
Oh,
no.
Eventually they
yeah,
would.
Yeah.
Oh, but I loved talking to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it was sort of a way to pass the time in one of them old buses, and.
Sure.
And, you know, I got to know a lot of the DJs across the country. But, you know, going into truck stops all my life, you know, being around truckers. And so when I don't know who asked me to do it last time, but it seemed like Bill Mack comes to mind. Mm. Maybe he might have got it started. But, you know, I've really enjoyed it. It's just great to touch the hands of America.
Sure,
really.
Sure. And, you know, this is the biggest crowd we've had in a long time.
Really?
And, you know, what's interesting is that the release came out while, you know, working nights. One of the things is you have to sleep during the day. So I wake up, and I've got friends in media and radio media, and one of them reached out to me going, congratulations on Tanya. I said, thank you. And I was like, is there a new staff member named Tanya? And he goes, it's really great. Then he sent me a link to the release. And they released
announcing that I was going to be here?
They announced it while I was asleep, which proves that I shouldn't sleep very often. But I wake up and all my emails were, hey, congratulations. Hey, this is going to be awesome. I'm like, did we get a new staff? And then I read, oh, we got Tanya Tucker.
Yeah,
then everybody in the entire control room
it's
was
Eric's
talking
fault.
About
Eric's
it.
Fault.
Exactly.
It's all his doing.
And you know, it was great because it was for me. Usually the staff and I, you know, we're like working kind of the same schedule, and I'll stay up late during that day. But for that day, I went to sleep, and then the release came out, and then later that evening, I woke up, and it was. All my email inbox is full.
Oh, that's so cool
that
makes me feel good.
And you know what was? It was so great
that's
out
really
here
sweet.
Today. We had so many folks lined up to meet you. That, you know, that's really a testament to
really,
your career.
Well, it's a testament to them, too, because, I mean, really. I mean, I know I wouldn't stand in line to see me, but I am so thankful. And grateful that they are willing to do that. And plus, we were a little late. I didn't know it, but we were a little late. And my manager comes in and goes, okay, an hour and a half late, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I didn't know. But what most people didn't know is I just got out of the hospital.
Wow.
So I was going to it was we can talk about it now.
Yeah.
But it was going to be canceled. I was going to have to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, my manager told me, so I think we should cancel it. And I thought, well, maybe you're right. Maybe I should, you know, try to get well and, you know, heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the next day I called him. I said, no, we're going. We're going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We came but I was a little late and I apologize for that. But it was just great to see people at, you know, it's just really interesting that people want to meet me and you know, some of them, they make my day because they'll say something that like, wow, you know, it's still thrilling actually.
Yeah.
People to think that of you.
I know my experience. I remember your songs being on the radios as long as I remember hearing radio.
Oh,
I started,
you know, my cohorts were so much older than me.
Right. And, you know,
I was lucky to get started young.
Well, and we learned that very early.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, my dad would use that as, look, if she can get a career like this, you can at least get a paper route.
That's so cool.
Well.
Because it was
about work ethic.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And it meant something. You know, it for us because
that's so cool that I mean, if you use me in comparison, I think that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I was trying to think who my dad would compare it to, but yeah, he would make those because his work ethic is totally different now.
Well, and it is, and your work showed in your music.
Different.
I remember there was that signature, not just your distinctive voice. But the songs that were on the radio that were your songs.
The early days, you mean?
Yeah. They
in the beginning?
Had an emotion to them that was just had a signature of its own. And it was almost like there was a common emotion in each of those songs.
Well, I love that you say that because, you know, it's always the edge where it's because she's singing songs that were mature and she was so young.
Right.
I don't think it had anything to do with that.
Right, right.
It's like you listen to the song and people, in fact, I believe that because I have an instance.
Right.
And that is because when Billy Sherrill, my first producer, first signed me to Columbia. And, you know, when I went to Nashville, my dad and I flew to Nashville from Vegas. It was March of 1972. March of 72. And we were there for like, I don't know, 2 weeks probably.
Right.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Going over songs, and I go to Billy's office. But anyway, when I first, and of course, you know, I picked Delta Dawn, Billy was just kind of great. He was just kind of this side of center. I mean, he really wasn't. He was a different sort of a person, and he heard and looked and listened to music differently than most people, and he listened to me. So, and us cutting Delta Dawn, we cut it probably 2 days after I heard it.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the studio recording it live.
Right.
But the first thing I remember Billy Sherrill telling everybody at Columbia, and I'm not sure exactly who it was, but is that I don't want anybody knowing that Tanya is 13.
Mm.
I don't want anybody knowing that.
Wow.
That's not what we're going for.
Yeah.
He said, I want this song to make it because it's a great song. It's a great record.
What a great approach.
And he goes, I don't want, you know, in other words, no circus act.
Right, right.
No young kid star.
No bias.
I never had that. Child star syndrome.
Well, because we saw a lot of that with the Jacksons, with the Osmonds, and it was not just on the radio. It was on TV, and it was all the time.
Yes.
And it was highlighted that they are just this age.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that goes back to, you know, those songs, those early songs that had that emotion.
Yeah, and you know,
it was probably a few years before I found out, you know, that you were.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I was
so
probably
young.
A lot of people didn't find out till much later, but
yeah,
it wasn't what he wanted people knowing about me.
Right, right. Don't judge it based on that.
No,
let's not make it a novelty act.
Hear the record.
Just listen and judge
the
music.
And I'll also tell you about a time when I was just about to turn. Well, see, I was 14. I was 14. So, and they were having the big Columbia convention in San Francisco that year. And I remember that year was the year that Helen Reddy came out with Delta Dawn.
Yeah. Wow.
And it sold like, you know, 2 million records.
Right.
Compared to mine, because it didn't sell, for a lot of reasons for that. Mm. The record label, they didn't know what Billy was doing.
Right.
But it turned out to be successful. But Billy was so angry at the record label.
Yeah.
And he was, I never forget going to the convention center, wherever it was.
Right,
Billy
right.
had his, you know, his guys,
yeah,
you know, his,
right.
what do you call them, the, you know, his sidekicks.
Right, right.
And they were all, and they had these long trench coats on, and here I am, 14, with like a little, like pigtails or something. And he was saying, you know, I can't believe you guys, I give you a great record, a great record. The kid happened to be, she happened to be a kid. It was a great record.
Yeah.
And you let that get away.
Yeah.
And then someone else comes out with a record that's not even close to this kind of quality.
Right.
And she sells 2 million records. What does that make you feel like? I mean, he really, I remember that day was very serious for him.
Yeah. Wow.
And I don't know if you've ever met Billy. Have you ever met Billy?
I've never met him.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
Wow.
Well, anyway, that was just a kind of an subsidiary story that I never know if I'll ever come back to that again. But, you know, I'm bringing it out to you.
Well,
but it was a time when he, when they said Billy Sherrill, when they first mentioned him, everybody was saying, oh, you need to go tell my dad, you need to take her to Billy Sherrill.
Right.
And it was like, who the hell is Billy Sherrill, you know? But he's sure popular.
Right,
And it come to find out, you know, of course, he produced George Jones.
Sure.
He produced and wrote a lot of Tammy Wynette's songs.
Right.
Her whole career. And anybody else, Charlie Rich, all his records.
Yeah, wow.
He wrote and Most Beautiful Girl. And anybody that was making or selling records at that time, he was producing.
Yeah, he was part of it.
So I always I say, you know, there's two people I really give the credit to, it comes right to my mind. There's a lot of people. If I sit here long enough, I could come up with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the first two people would be my dad, of course.
Sure.
He wouldn't take no for an answer, and Billy Sherrill.
Yeah, wow.
Because Billy Sherrill actually listened to a 13-year-old kid.
Wow.
And when they said they played The Happiest Girl in the whole USA, it was the record, for God's sakes.
Yes.
But it was because Billy's friend was the publisher of that record.
Yeah.
He had control of it.
Yeah.
Wow. And I had the opportunity to record it that day.
Wow.
But I said, he goes, what do you think, kid? And I said, you know, it's not my song. It's a good song.
Yeah.
I like the song, but it's just not my song.
Yeah.
You know, who would say, you wouldn't wait till you're 33 to say that.
You
could say that when you're 13.
Right, right.
And so Billy, being the way he was, he looked at the guys, all the cronies over there, and said, okay, you heard what she said, boys. And they're thinking, oh, my God, he's lost it.
What,
you know?
Right?
I'm for sure he's lost it now. Because he's the kind of guy that would buy a car that was owned by Al Capone and had 72 bullet holes in it, you know, and only played Blue Danube. You know?
Right.
So he was that kind of guy. And those kind of people are really the only ones that ever gave me a shot.
Yeah.
Anybody
and gave
logical?
You control.
And too on time, never did anything for me.
Wow.